Chapter 9. Extrapolation. The Mailed Fist Strikes. Sergeant Kynaston swore blue murder as another volley of pulse rifle fire streaked overhead. For a split second, the neat white beams of energy illuminated the filthy, half-starved platoon of Astra Militarum under Kynaston's command. His had been a field promotion, of a sort. Commander Anatol and Sergeant Dvorjet had both been kind enough to get their spines shot out during the last sally up Gun Ridge, and the men didn't trust the wizened astropath Mala Greya enough to turn their back on her. Kynaston was the only remaining member of Ontova Platoon's command echelon who was anything like a leader. So now he was holed up in the cratered mess of a buried Xenos hab, with 48 of the 122nd Balagas Castellans looking to him for a way out. The promotion he had always hankered after now seemed the worst of all possible curses. Despite the drill sergeant persona he put forward and the torrents of foul invective that frequently spilled from his stubbled-framed lips, part of him still felt scared enough to fill a bucket.
"Acting Sergeant Kynaston," said the regiment's master of ordnance, Delatai Nordger.
Kynaston just ignored him, staring back towards the Imperial lines with a haunted look of a shell-shock victim. Inside, he was fighting the urge to curl a fist.
"Kynaston, I am speaking to you."
How he hated Nordger, always criticizing, always more than eager to call down a bombardment on the front line, never mind the poor bloody infantry that might be fighting there, and half the time more interested in his hairstyle and the sheen of his heirloom breastplate than the lives at stake around him.
"Acting Sergeant Kynaston," said Nordger again, his tone insistent, "I must speak with you."
"What?"
roared Kynaston, his fear boiled away by the heat of his rage.
"We are still pinned down. What is your plan? Advance in the Emperor's name, I presume."
"Advance," said Kynaston, his voice practically a screech. "If I give the order to advance, 50 men die in the space of a few seconds. Have you not been paying attention, you oil-haired fool? Have you seen what those Xenos freaks are using? Their line infantry, are carrying plasma weapons that make this..."
Kynaston grabbed the flak armor over his chest and shook it with a vigor close to frenzy.
"Look like one of your wife's moth-eaten camisoles!"
Nordger bristled, his jowls wobbling as he tried to recoil from Kynaston's wrath and puff himself up at the same time.
"We have plenty of ammunition, surely," said Nordger lamely. "I've seen it back there."
Kynaston felt his vision flare white. He smacked the heels of his hands into his face over and over as the intensity of his rage overwhelmed him.
"It's the wrong bloody kind! The devil-sucking Munitorum sent us triplex foul pattern! We might as well shove ration packs in our sockets for all the good it will do. We've recharged every damn cell we have 10 times over. There's nothing left."
"Sir," said Private Feindhast,
Perhaps if we what, Feindhast?"
shouted Kynaston, his eyes bulging as he thrust his face within an inch of his weak-chinned subordinate.
"Perhaps if we retreated to Theta Tert, so Duggan can put a bolt pistol shell in the back of my head for cowardice. Perhaps if we threw ourselves into the teeth of the enemy fire, so we can die together in each other's arms."
Thin strings of spittle flew from the sergeant's mouth, lacing the private's cheek.
"Perhaps if you had more brains than a flophouse runt, you'd realize we're already dead."
"Sir,"
whispered Feindhast, his eyes screwed up and his face the colour of a corpse.
"Please, don't shoot me, please." "For the love of spite, Feindhast, I'm not going to shoot you," said Kynaston,
some of his incandescent anger ebbing away as he saw genuine fear in the private's features.
"Just say your damned piece.
It's just, if we haven't got ammo and we haven't got a chance in a firefight, maybe we could try these."
He held up a long piece of steel, a faint glint on its edge. It took Kynaston a moment to realize it was a bayonet.
"Right," said Kynaston. "Bayonet charge. Against the most technologically advanced foe we've ever seen."
Another hissing storm of pulse rifle fire crackled overhead. They heard the loud crump of an engine going up in the middle distance.
"We might as well go out strong, Sarge," said Doriev, Feinhast's bunkmate, coming up to place a meaty hand on Nordger's well-polished epaulets. "Maybe get buttons here to call down a barrage as we go."
A long moment of silence stretched out, the expressions of the assembled guardsmen grey and serious. Nordger gave an almost imperceptible nod, his face pale in the gloom.
"The Emperor protects," muttered Kynaston for the first time in weeks. "I just hope the old bastard's got a soft spot for lunatics."
Commander Farsight surveyed the data compiles of the previous night's fighting with a growing sense of unease. The Imperial war machine, portrayed by the watercast as lumbering and predictable, had proved to be anything but. The Imperial invasion force was throwing tidal waves of military force into Damocles with every new day. Gueron Shah spearheads had been launched against several major cities across the northern hemisphere of Dal Ith, their attacks so sudden that the Firecast had struggled to reply in time. Every one of the assaults had made significant gains. In the areas outside the cities, Shadow Sun was working hard to keep the Imperials from establishing supply lines by striking at the 100-strong columns of tanks that prowled through the Indigo Wilderness. Keeping to the dark side of the planet, her stealth carders were rarely seen, but Farsight could extrapolate their positions easily enough from the destruction they left in their wake. He had watched the drone captures 6 times already. Watching O'Shacera work, even at one step removed, never lost its luster. Confusion reigned in a dozen hex sectors as the Gwela tried to fight back, their armored columns brought to a choking standstill. The wreckage of their vanguard blasted a new path through nearby magna rail tunnels so they could give pursuit. Farsight smiled wryly. They had about as much chance of catching Shadow Sun's stealth carders as he had of getting an apology for her behavior in the audience chamber. Over the last few nights, Farsight had done everything in his power to help her. He had even personally led Montcar battlesuit spearheads to deliver the killing blow when the Gueron Shah had taken the bait by attempting to relieve the beleaguered tanker columns. The complementary strategies of Kaoyon and Montcar had been extremely effective, but the two commanders had yet to communicate face to face. They knew each other so well that in practice they did not need to. Farsight spooled through the latest footage from VR Meshla. The Tau's stranglehold on the war zone had been broken by an infantry charge. Not by space marines, but by simple Gwela infantry. Some of them had made it to close quarters despite the overlapping fire lanes of the Carder defending the ridge. Stony-faced, Farsight watched drone footage of human troopers charging through a killing field of pulse rifle fire and orbital bombardments. Their rough, barking orders were becoming familiar sounds to him, the simple war cries those of a backwards tribe grown impossibly numerous. Perhaps 1 in 6 of the human attackers survived to gain the ridge. Those who made it through set about themselves with their primitive spear-like rifles as if gripped by a rabid frenzy, stabbing and slashing to wreak absolute ruin on the fire warriors behind the tide wall. What a waste, thought Farsight. After the harrowing 10-year crusade against the orcs of Arkunasha, his personal cadre trained in close-quarters doctrine every dawn, but the rest of the Tau military still considered it a distraction from the true art of war. At Via Meshla, they had paid the price. It was far from the only disaster emerging from the shadows as the days crept by. Disturbing reports of unarmed Imperials making uncategorizable kills were flooding the data nets, as confusing as they were illogical. Farsight was beginning to feel his grip on the Dal Ith operation weakening, and he knew from bitter experience the Ethereals would be quick to reach the same conclusion. As the thought of censure crossed Oshova's mind, a screen on his data suite glowed. The personal icon script of the Stone Dragon was overlaid on the symbol denoting the Earthcast, a disc cresting a halved oblong that signified order, unity, and strength. He eye-flicked the ascent code and turned to face the screen's micro-camera.
"Commander Farsight, greetings!"
said Oviza, broad teeth bared in an approximation of a smile.
I have news for you.
Farsight's eyes narrowed. Something about the scientist's body language was strange. He was leaning forward rather than back, and his smile seemed fixed. The Earthcast were never much good at concealing their emotions. Oshova had long held the theory it was because they were so very unused to them. They famously had very little in the way of empathy. On Arkunasha, Oviza had proved so thoughtless he had antagonized Farsight to the point of violence.
"Don't tell me," said Farsight. "This is the kind of news better imparted in person."
"Indeed it is," said Oviza, his face lighting up for a moment before becoming deadly serious once more. "A matter of some delicacy."
"Very well. I need your advice on something anyway. I shall make haste to your location. I can be there in a matter of decks if you stay put."
"Excellent," said Oviza. "I think we are approaching a crux point in the history of Dal'ith."
"I concur," said Farsight. "The Imperials are more resourceful than we thought. We will need to reply in kind."
"Resources, Commander," said Oviza, "are something I am well placed to help with."
Having turned down the offer of a Saznami escort for the 100th time, Farsight marched down the corridors of the Gelbrin prototype complex. His heels clacked with a precise metronomic tempo on the steel-hard thermoplastic. To walk alone, to stride with purpose at a precise pace, always helped him think, and to steady his heartbeat. Just as well, he thought. Dealing with Oviza was usually to invite a nasty surprise, even if the genius scientist had a lot to offer the Tau Va. The corridors of the complex were scrupulously clean, and the crisp scents of antiseptic and ozone hung in the air. Every route and information point was ordered and clear. It was the same across Dal'ith. Every other facility given over to the scientists and workers of the Earthcast was a haven of logic and order. Farsight nearly choked in shock when he passed through the iris doors to the weapons testing environments to be greeted by fizzing sparks and a veil of thin smoke.
"Commander Farsight," said an Earthcast worker,
his broad wrinkled features creasing in an expression somewhere between awe and terror.
"My sincere apologies for the status of this interstitial passageway. I shall fetch Oviza to honour you immediately." "No need, Porel Mayatan," said a voice from the far end of the chamber. "I have fetched myself."
Outwardly serious, Farsight smiled with his eyes at the gawping worker before approaching his old colleague. As he moved into the complex, he could not help but look through the lozenge-shaped windows at its smoke-shrouded testing chambers. Beyond was a jungle analogue, wisps of cordite floating through its shattered observation pane. A few hundred metres away, the lunar deathscape, which Farsight knew to be a favourite testing environment of Oviza's for its stark simplicity, had its airlock open. Two worker scientists escorted a hover slab bearing a ruined facsimile of a Gueron Shah through its doors.
"The stone dragon breathes fire, I see," said Farsight.
"No," said Oviza awkwardly. "This is not my doing, Commander. Technically speaking, we had some uninvited guests. I admit I may have capitalized upon the opportunity. Follow me. I will ensure that I provide optimum summation of the relevant incidents."
"The raw information itself would be more useful," said Farsight.
"Of course, of course. You shall have it all in due time, for the greater good."
Oviza turned, waving his data wand across an iris portal scanner oval and passing through to the area beyond. Farsight followed him through a wide vestibule that led to a far larger chamber. Everything from stealth tech Camellia suites to XV-88 weapon cradles lined the vestibule's walls. Banks of experimental software connected to factory-grey battlesuits through thick fiber-optic cables and flickering antennae dumps. It was quite a sight, but it was the chamber beyond that set a fire in the commander's heart. The main section of the subterranean hangar was truly cavernous, easily the largest Farsight had ever seen. The central workspace was 9 floors deep, wide enough to accommodate an entire coalition with room to spare. A series of slope-walled mezzanines stretched around its perimeter, each with observation windows leading to smaller experimentation facilities. Several battlesuits of immense size were being constructed in the depths of the hangar, so large their piston-lined skeletons and motive units could have lifted a hammerhead tank as easily as Farsight would shoulder a rifle. One was a true giant, squat-bodied and broad. Its arms, such as they were, housed massive missile banks that could have cleared the city skies of enemy air power in a matter of minutes. Farsight was already running calculations and theoretical approaches, devising new and exciting Montcars. The giant battlesuits were the keystone on which truly majestic military strategies could be built. Underneath the cerebral thrill of it, he felt a genuine emotional charge, like a naive young cadet seeing a crisis suit up close for the first time.
"I only wish I had whole Rotar to spend in here," said Farsight sadly. "But my immediate duty to the Tau Var calls. We must confer."
"We are nearly at our destination," said Oviza, waddling over to another vestibule chamber with a dual door. "You will need to present your bio sign here, I'm afraid. Only ethereals and those of the highest rank who also have special dispensation may enter. I myself have permanent access."
"Fascinating," said Farsight dully,
clicking his fingers dismissively in front of the oval sensor pad. A moment later, the door lights turned from grey to gold. The sensor software had detected the still-living skin cells he had dislodged with his gesture and analysed their genetic structure in a heartbeat. Oviza pursed his lips in disapproval and placed a thumb respectfully on the pad, his own light turning gold in response. A moment later, both doors irised open and Farsight slid inside. Another vestibule, this time without signage of any sort, leading to a corridor lined with black window ports. The lack of information presented here struck Farsight as odd, given the Earthcast's obsession with it. Somehow, it was more disturbing than the sight of a corpse-strewn battlefield. There was a lack of honesty here, he could feel it. Oviza led Farsight down a long corridor. As he passed each window, the scientist tapped each blacked-out lozenge with his data wand to render it briefly transparent, blink capturing the status of his projects in the process. Aware that he was likely under scrutiny, Farsight carefully kept his face neutral and his eyes front, one of them at any rate. The other he slid to observe the windows as he passed. The Earthcast genius led him on, oblivious. Though Oviza seemed to think such matters beyond a simple warrior, Farsight had been given reason to mistrust Oviza in the past and suspected that even a microdex glimpse of what lay beyond the black apertures could be incredibly revealing. One glance afforded a snapshot of strange, wiry nests of cables and neurodiscs wrapped around floating spheres. Another showed a magnificent hoverdrone dais with a regal ethereal seated in profile upon it. The image shed light as a hologram rather than reflecting it. Further down the corridor, Farsight caught sight of a massive cannon the length of the entire room, oblong in cross-section and replete with glowing power sources. As Oviza turned a corner and took a different corridor, another lozenge window was rendered briefly transparent to reveal a series of tall glass cylinders. Each held a slumbering Tau with tubes and wires jutting from its skin, its eyes, its scalp. The nearest, though he could have been no more than 12 years of age, was the spitting image of Commander Brightsword. This time, Farsight could not keep silent.
"Honored, Oviza, was that Commander Brightsword in there?"
"In a manner of speaking," said Oviza, "that particular donor has been voluntarily involved in our hypergenics program for many Kairotar now. Just as well, really. I need an individual to test a pair of counterintuitive weapons I have devised, and he has precisely the right mindset."
Farsight kept his peace, though he felt his blood grow hot at the implications. Unless the clone had been brought from inception to full maturity in the space of a few days, it had existed and perhaps even had a sentient mind whilst the original Commander Brightsword had still been alive. It was against all the rules of scientific reproduction, as far as Farsight understood, and it made him feel very uncomfortable. He would not put such unsanctioned experimentation past Oviza, though, not after what he did to Farsight's mentor, Ob Lortai, reborn as the artificial intelligence the Firecast called War Ghost. Even now, many Kairotar later, that was not a matter he cared to think about for too long. Farsight realized one of his hands had subconsciously strayed to the hilt of his bonding knife and hurriedly clasped them in front of him. He forced down his anger. Those were old wounds, not to be reopened. Not here, at any rate.
Ah, here we are, said Oviza. The analysis suite. The data I'd gleaned from our guests is still raw, but I have made batch copies nonetheless.
You keep using that term, guests. I assume you are telling me a number of Gweron Shah gained access to your facility.
That is correct. They gained access through the subterranean commune Ver-Haya 19-5. Observe, if you will, the anomalous behavior I recorded when they faced one of our water caste.
At this, Oviza played footage of a squad of cobalt-armored space marines demolishing a Tau Magister's living space. He heard the grunting battle cant of the Gweron Shah, recognizing most of the syllables and even the odd word from his studies. One of their number dealt the killing blow to the Watercast Magister by stamping on her chest just as she pulled a pulse pistol on his comrade. Farsight scowled. A moment before the kill, it had seemed like another of the warriors, his red helm of rank obvious despite the dim light, had been reticent to land a blow.
Compile this for me, if you would. It may bear closer inspection.
Of course.
So, they broke into a commune, then found their way in here. Given you are analyzing their data rather than their remains, I can only surmise they cut their way free.
I sent stealth drones after them and made Commander Shadow-san aware of their presence, said Oviza reasonably. The matter is in hand.
You told Commander Shadow-san instead of me, said Farsight.
I did, indeed.
Despite everything we achieved together on Akunasha.
Why, yes, it felt like the right thing to do.
A long silence filled the analysis chamber.
That footage is a mere prologue in any case, blustered Oviza. Look at the data trail they left behind in the testing zones.
He made his way over to an analysis cradle that was already rendering a dozen types of data upon its broad, flat hollow screens, and brought up a dozen more with a flick of his wand. Despite his simmering emotions, Farsight couldn't help but divert an eye in its direction. The analysis cradle detailed everything from the material tolerances of the Imperial Wartech to ballistics reports and weapons parameters. There were even remote radioscopic autopsies assessing the physiology of the Space Marines. Used correctly, it was enough information to give the Firecast a real edge and revitalize his own analysis projects regarding their war capabilities. Farsight could feel himself becoming elated at the thought, the fires of anger flickering to be replaced by those of enthusiasm.
This is fascinating, said Farsight.
This time he really meant it.
Oviza, this is of paramount importance to the war effort. You are standing on the crest of a silver mountain here. I believe I am, yes.
More images flitted past. Scenes of the Space Marines fighting a broadside, a warband of cybernetic Kroot, a macro stealth suit, and a ballistics unit of truly colossal size.
These prototypes need refining, of course, said Oviza.
I wonder to which you are referring, Oviza, said Farsight, his tone flat and cold. The unsanctioned battlesuits, or the facsimile crute I specifically advised you not to construct.
Oviza turned away, tinkering with his data wand.
If the Shapers get word you are analyzing their kindreds in such detail, let alone making programmable analogues of their people, said Farsight, you will have endangered our relationship with our closest allies, and in doing so, weakened the entire Tau Empire.
I merely sought to harness as much relevant data as possible, protested Oviza. I leave political matters to the water caste, as should you.
Technically, the scientist had a point. Farsight put the matter aside, resolving to come back to it once the immediate conflicts were resolved. He motioned for Oviza to continue, and the Gueron Shah continued hacking their way through the artificial version of the Kroot homeworld. Halfway through the footage, Farsight noted many of the space marines removing their helms. There were several clear captures of their faces.
This was harnessed by a chameleodrone as they conferred in what we call the safe cave, said Oviza. An area specifically designated for opportunistic recording.
Two of them, Farsight recognized. They were the same warriors he had engaged at the reservoir. His hands curled into fists at the memory. The images played on, now showing the lunar deathscape. The Space Marines were fighting hard, engaging the Gueron Shah simulacra Oviza had assembled after Vespertine. Explosive bolts shattered ablative armor, gauntleted fists cracked into faceplates, and chain-toothed swords chewed through artificial limbs in showers of sparks. By the look of it, the invaders were outclassing their supposed analogues completely.
These Gueron Shah fight with merciless skill, said Farsight, but with little in the way of subtlety.
I imagine it was not easy for you to watch them attack the unarmed Magister, replied Oviza. Would that act be considered dishonorable conduct by your caste?
Farsight nodded slightly, deep in thought. That footage was curious. He could not shake the suspicion that one of the Space Marines had been reticent to strike the Magister down before the other officer stepped in to make the killing blow. Only a few rotar ago, a kind of honour had been shown by the captain that had duelled Brightsword. The Space Marine had called off his support firepower, and that action had indirectly cost him his life. Farsight had held his own fire in response, allowing the two warriors to fight, one on one, to the death. A small part of his soul questioned whether he would have stayed his hand if the Space Marine had not commanded his own allies to cease fire first. His decision had resulted in Brightsword's demise, robbing the Firecast of a great champion. But he had died well in the service of the Tau Var. The duel had been fought fairly, not through formal agreement, but through some unspoken warrior ideals shared by human and Tau alike. Though Farsight had spared the life of a Gueron Shah medic earlier in the battle, he had not hesitated to capitalize on the aftermath of the honor duel, slaying the crippled captain moments after its conclusion. Perhaps it was he that had shown a weakness of the soul that day. Perhaps the Gueron Shah code was more stringent than he thought. And yet, the image of a booted foot crushing the life from the helpless watercast Magister was hard to forget.
Would you care for a compile of this data now, despite the fact that it is still pre-assimilation? Said Oviza, waving a notation hover disk towards Farsight. Once it is properly sorted and analyzed, I shall of course make it widely available through the proper channels. Still, I know your talents are diverse enough to make use of the raw data.
My thanks, said Farsight,
bowing formally as he received the disk in both hands. In truth, he was taken aback, for the genius scientist to part with his data harvest before he had thoroughly analyzed and quantified it was sacrifice indeed. It was akin to a fire warrior parting with a powerful prototype weapon before having a chance to test it in battle.
Oh, speaking of your diverse talents, said Oviza, Tutor Shah Kanthas was asking after you. a question regarding whether your gifts are, in fact, rather too widely spread for the greater good.
What?
Said Farsight, a cold splash of fear hitting his chest. The very concept of blending castes was taboo. For an officer to be accused of straddling those lines was severe indeed.
In the event Tutor Sharkanthas's claim reached the Ethereals, Farsight could be stripped of rank, and perhaps even subjected to the deadly trial that awaited all those branded Vashya. The commander steeled himself, compartmentalizing the news and forcing focus upon his thoughts. Personal considerations were nothing next to the wider war effort.
Tutor Sharkanthas can wait, he said. There is a war raging outside, and my first duty is to the safety of my people. Tell me where these rogue Gweron Shah squads went. I shall lead a team after them myself and contain them before they do any more damage to our domain.
Naturally, I extrapolated their course. There is a very high degree of probability they are heading for the Ath Adra command facility.
Farsight felt his fear intensify dramatically, skin prickling with anxiety.
Ath Adra? Are you sure?
Within reasonable parameters, said Oviza. Does that alarm you? You seem alarmed.
The Ethereal Council is meeting there, muttered Farsight, turning on his heel and running towards the door.
Tutor Sharkanthas ran through his arguments once more, reassuring himself their causal paths were proof against even the most discerning observations. Farsight was Vashya, he was certain of it. He had known there was something wrong with that upstart from the beginning, back at the Mont-Ear Battle Dome. At first, he had mistaken it for genius and encouraged his student in every way. It had been he who had given the aspiring fire warrior his first name element, Sho, meaning inner light, in response to his superb insight. But Sho had proven too precocious, too cunning, and had destabilized an entire batch of cadets as a result. Not only had he flouted regulations by forcing his induction several Kai Rotar before it was due, he had memorized and exploited every facet of his instructor's preferred war styles, then used that knowledge to unpick every new simulation like a master thief unpicking a lock. Before long, it had become disruptive. The youngster had solved the tutor's convoluted training challenges with the ease of a croothound sniffing out a dead body. That disruption had not gone unnoticed by Shaz Atoll High Command. Two Rotar later, Sho had the rank of Shasla conferred upon him by none other than Commander Puretide himself, and Tutor Sharkanthas and his peers had been relieved of their duties, sent to the front line against the Arakan of the Western Vale. Sharkanthas had survived, one way or another. He eventually won back his former title, though he had been told he would never rise further in his field. Meanwhile, he had watched with bitter ire as Sho swiftly rose to the rank of commander, far too swiftly for the greater good. In the process, the prodigy had proven himself capable to the point of arrogance, excelling in every field. He had shown the flair of a gifted orator when addressing his carders, both at Zephyr Peak and here on Dal Ith. Perhaps worse still, he had usurped the duties of the Earth Caste when he field-repaired his own malfunctioning battlesuit under the waters of Dal Ith Reservoir. One incident was more than enough for an inquiry, but both together were ironclad evidence of Farsight blurring the caste lines. Tutor Sharkanthas had sequestered evidence of the Zephyr Peak incident from the Firecast's archive and had corroboration of the reservoir anomaly from his brief interview with Oviza. The latter was held on the recorder discus he now held in his clammy palms. Oviza, the stone dragon, was held in such high regard in his field, with a long-held reputation for unflinching honesty and for having all the political acumen of a gun drone. Farsight was between castes, all right. Even Oviza had said as much. For all Tutor Sharkanthas knew, the commander was a natural pilot as well. The tutor heard the hiss of a door irising open up ahead and found himself sitting bolt upright, a trickle of sweat making its uncomfortable way down his spine. a tall female ethereal drifted into the corridor. Held aloft by an elegant repulsor belt, she glided towards him with the sign of greetings in adversity. A strange feeling of doubt wormed its way into the tutor's mind. He desperately wanted the dangerous firebrand Farsight put in his place, ideally to have him demoted for the good of the Tau Va. But should the hearing go too well? Tutor Sharkanthas put the dark thought from his mind. As always, the ethereal caste would do the right thing for the greater good. Their wisdom was unimpeachable. So why did he feel like he was holding a sharpened knife instead of a recorder disc?